Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, today's scriptures deal with the public reading of scripture. Did you notice the similarities in practice between the two scriptures we read? Both the first lesson and the gospel lesson and the reading, and then there was a commentary after the reading. And this is essentially the same pattern that we have with our service of the word even today. First, we listen to the ancient writings that have been collected for us through the centuries. And then someone, in this case the pastor, and today that's me, comments upon what we just read. In Ezra's case, there were a whole series of commentators and helpers. In Jesus' case, it was just him, and his message about the scriptures seemed exceedingly short in this gospel lesson for the day, but that's because they cut the text a little bit short. There is a whole sermon that goes on in dialogue between Jesus and the people in the synagogue. In fact, what Jesus says makes them angry, and that so angry that they actually try to kill him. A reminder that preaching is not always well received. But as I said, the gospel pericope stops short at that point. What we heard was just the opening sentence of the sermon. It says he sat down. That's what preachers did in those days. They sat down and preached. We stand up today. And then as he sat down, he began his sermon. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's how our lessons work. They give us digestible proportions or portions of the Bible to deal with. If we read all the scriptures possible on this practice, we would be here as long as the people of Ezra's day were there. And it says that they were there from early morning until late in the afternoon. Instead, we get to hear just a little snippet of the Bible, just enough to keep us going and just enough to help us see the important points, just enough to give us a sense of the context. In today's gospel, we have Jesus reading from Isaiah, his commission, if you will. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We are at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and he has started right in his hometown. He brings the good news of the gospel, announcing release to those under arrest, sight for those unable to see, and God's welcome to all within earshot. The mission of Jesus is our mission too. Just as Ezra surrounded himself with people who helped in his preaching, so Jesus also surrounds himself with the whole people of God who are to carry out Christ's mission of freedom and release to all those around us. Right here in our hometown, good news to people who are in a world of hurts. What makes Lutheran Christians particular from other denominations? We are committed to the good news of Jesus Christ. We have discovered that following Christ is following him in freedom and joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. For freedom, Christ has set us free, free to be God's people right where we are. At the same time, we are more than a little bit reluctant to say anything about Jesus to anyone because we don't want anyone to think that we are one of those kinds of Christians, especially those judgmental folks who are always putting people down. I dare say most of us, if not all of us, have run into one of those judgmental folks more than once. And the problem becomes that we never say anything about God's grace and mercy. We never invite anyone to church with us. We let the fundamentalist TV preachers give the rest of us a bad name. But there comes a time. There comes a time when we are called to speak of the compassion of Jesus. We are called to step up to the free throw line and make that basket. Now, if you're like me, you're not going to make the basket on the first throw, but you've got another one coming. And sooner or later, with enough turns at that free throw line, I manage to get one through the hoop. And that's how it is with speaking the good news of God's grace and mercy. We have to miss a few before we sink the bucket. We say something good about God and we tell folks something positive about our faith. And the more we do, the easier it gets. And yes, we're still going to miss a few baskets, but that's okay. The context of the Gospel of Luke is that it doesn't end until 20 chapters after this one, after the resurrection. In chapter 24, Jesus appears to the disciples one last time. He eats with them, opens their minds to the scriptures, and tells them to proclaim forgiveness to all nations, to be Christ's witnesses, very much like the close of Matthew's gospel, but with a difference. He also prepares them with the promise of the Holy Spirit to remind them that they are not alone. The same promised Spirit is with us as well. Through baptism and communion, we also have the gift of God's Spirit, who strengthens us with all we need to carry forward the mission of Christ into our world. We are not alone in this. The Spirit of the light of Christ is our light. The same Spirit that was upon Christ that day in the pulpit. The same Spirit who filled the disciples at Pentecost. So go. Go in peace. Christ is your light. Thanks be to God. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.